Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be breaking down Club America's 1-0 performance victory against Querétaro. We'll talk about that performance, and we'll see whether or not we should be pressing that panic button or if things are starting to turn on the up and up for our Águilas del América. We'll talk Alan Saint-Maximin, of course. Gucci Man is officially an Águila player. We'll talk about what we think his incorporation will mean to the team and whether or not this solves all of our issues going on into the rest of the season. And of course, to finish off the podcast, we'll be talking with a Tigres expert to preview this upcoming matchup against Tigres away on the road for América. So to help me do all of that, I'm joined by everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez. Dylan, how are you, my friend?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I'm still surprised at how mild the summer has been here in Texas. But, you know, the humidity has been no joke. So it's kind of a lose-lose still for me a little bit. But you know what? Doing good overall.
Nice, nice. And you know what? I need to ask because I'm sure this is on everyone's mind. And last time you were on here, I'm sure everyone wants to know, how was Vegas?
Oh, man. It was so much fun getting to see family. Being able to spend time with them. It's been a while since I've been to Vegas, but being able to fly out there was really good. I enjoyed it. You know, it was fun. But obviously, good things come to an end. So back to reality for me, it was so.
Oh, well, I'm glad you had a good time. Glad you had some fun. Hopefully, you made some money. And hopefully, you didn't get to see America destroy themselves in the League's Cup the way that they did.
That's a different story.
Yeah, 100%. I want to talk about Querétaro, but first of all, I think we need to talk about the elephant in the room, right? Which is Alan Saint-Maximin. Ever since this news broke that America was in talks to get him, and then a couple hours later, Merlo confirms that, you know, the deal is 100% done. It's felt like forever since we've, you know, gotten an official statement from the club. Even when he landed in Mexico, the club just vaguely said, oh, Saint-Maximin's here for some tests. They never really actually confirmed or officialized it. Until today, in the moment that we're recording this on Tuesday, August 12th, America has officially announced Alan Saint-Maximin as their newest reinforcement for the 2025 season. Honestly, Dylan, I'm trying to pick your brain here. What are you thinking about the Frenchman?
I'm a little excited. I mean, when's the last time I really talked about a Frenchman, Ivan? I mean, that was Jeremy Menez.
Jeremy Menez. Kinda, and I think we were on the podcast like about
it. Yeah, I know. And it kind of seems like ages ago. But, you know, I feel cautiously optimistic. I feel like this is a signing that is hopefully going to breathe some new life into the squad. From what I don't really know much about him, but from just kind of hearing from Chris and kind of like, you know, reading a little bit about him, you know, these kinds of seem like, you know, he brings some skill and some creativity, something that I think this team's really lacked. So, you know, I'm pretty excited to see how this goes. I'm really excited to see how he gets incorporated to the team. But I think, again, you know, it's cautiously optimistic, but I feel like it's optimistic too, because, you know, this isn't just some like signing from within Mexico. You know, the club actually like ventured out, you know, overseas and was like, you know, this is who we want, you know, we're going to bring him here. And, you know, this is probably a piece of the puzzle that we're missing.
I love that word, cautiously optimistic. That might be the title of today's episode. I'm not going to lie. It's just, I feel like it goes well with everything we're going to be talking about throughout this hour of America talk. But yes, I think it's a perfect way of kind of talking about this new signing, right? Cautiously optimistic. I've seen a lot of Americanistas superly optimistic about this signing and kind of saying that he's already kind of this big bomba signing, even though he hasn't really done anything on the pitch. I think a lot of people are looking at this from a perspective of, well, you know, he used to play in Europe, he used to play in the Premier League. They're probably looking at the FIFA stats and they're probably thinking, you know, we're getting this amazing winger. And I'm not saying he's not going to be that. I really, truly do want to see him succeed, right? I mean, I feel like the podcast has gone full circle now that we have another Frenchman in our lines here. But there was a lot of optimistic with Jeremy Menez, although maybe a little bit less so with the fact that we knew he was coming in injured already. We knew, you know, his recent form wasn't at utmost the best, but still you thought quality wise he was going to bring something to the squad. And at times, don't he show glimpses of what he could potentially do? Saint-Maximin, though, comes at a different story, right? We always talk about getting a player on the right side of 30, and this is exactly the signing that we wanted to see. Saint-Maximin, 28 years old. You're looking at the other players like Buanga, already 30, looking to be 31 next season. So as you think about the scales, Saint-Maximin fits perfectly in kind of that bingo square where you're like, okay, perfect. This is exactly the type of player, the age gap, the ability, all that good stuff. And I get it that there is maybe some criticism to him and, you know, his recent stints at Fenerbahce, you know, at Saudi Arabia. He maybe didn't tear up the league apart, but he still has a lot of skills. And I think, you know, if he can be more than half of the player that he was in Saudi Arabia, I think he'll tear this league apart. So there is a lot of optimism, and I do think that it should be granted. I do think, though, that we need to give it some time. Maybe not rush too much into it and, you know, give him the time to adapt, because this is a lot different than when a South American has to come in and adapt to Mexico. This is a whole European that needs to adapt, a completely different lifestyle, different language. There's that language barrier that we talked about, right? He speaks good English, which I think helps, because there's a couple of players that speak English. But, you know, he's going to have to learn Spanish and all that good stuff. But all in all, I am excited. I do think he brings a lot of good stuff to this America side. Like Chris has mentioned, maybe he won't be the most goal scoring machine that we have, but he will open up avenues, he will open up channels, he will be a creative engine for this team, and ultimately provide some assist or provide something in order for us to start looking into breaking these low block defenses, which we desperately need to find a way around them. So a lot of optimism, and I like it, but I think we should throw that word cautious in front of it in order to kind of maybe ease our way into it. But all in all, I think it's phenomenal. It's great. I mean,
it's good to know too that he wants to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. You saw the videos. He was eating barbacoa. he was eating tacos and stuff like that. He looked like he's having a good time. The team looks like they're having a good time unveiling him, having him around. So I guess the million-dollar question here, Dylan, is, does he solve all our issues?
Yeah, no, that is the question, too. But, I mean, I think when you look at it, especially on paper, like you kind of mentioned, it fills a void, you know, that's something that this team is needed, you know. But does it translate on the pitch? I mean, that's something that, you know, obviously we'll have to wait and see, you know, as he integrates more into the squad, you know, how often, I guess, because I obviously imagine he's going to come off the bench, you know, but how often and when how do they decide to sub him in, you know, especially where we're at any point in the game, you know, whether we're, you know, up a goal, down a goal, you know, I think it all depends on those things too. And we got to think of these different situations that we could be in any point, any times. But I wouldn't go as far as calling it a bomba, but, you know, I am excited. You know, I think this is something that I kind of feel like I've kind of called on to when it comes to me calling out the board a lot, saying that, you know, there's doesn't really feel like nobody's coming, you know, it just seems very quiet, you know, and the transfer, you know, whenever it comes to this team. And then seeing this is like, well, like, you know, this is something I was not expecting, considering how the last couple of transfer windows have kind of gone. So you know, again, cautiously optimistic, but, you know, excited for the future.
Absolutely. I think a lot of us are looking at this signing as, you know, a really good call to action. And hey, 2 years later, we finally have our Julián Quiñones replacement. So
yeah, 2 years later.
Yeah.
Or was this 2 years ago?
Hopefully that's not the trend, because it'll be 2 years from now till we get our Diego Valdez replacement. But yeah, I mean, it's looking good on that aspect. I think there's still room to improve this squad, and obviously hands are tied right now at the moment with needing to relocate a couple of foreigners, right? Javido needs to find a new home. There was talks of him going to Colorado Rapids, although that kind of died out. Victor Dávila, again, another player that a lot of people are saying could potentially leave. The whole Ryan Rodriguez and that saga and whole novella and what turned out to be is just agent trying to stir up and make more of a fuss, but it doesn't look like he's going to be moving anytime soon either. So, yeah, a lot of questions still around what this team's going to look like come the end of the transfer window, but we do need to move a couple pieces. And Dylan, we've been here so many times already before in the transfer window, where América is still unable to do anything just because of the fact that they don't have any room in their squad to make any movements. And so, I don't know, let's just hope that this time around they can turn it around and find an avenue to kind of get rid of a couple players and, you know, maybe bring in a Palavecino or a Guido Rodriguez, which I think are the two names that are being floated out there right now.
Was it last season whenever they didn't register Igor because of that?
Yes.
Because too many forms? Yeah, it was last year. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's that. So hopefully something is figured out, because I feel like this part of it too is where the bad business comes in. I mean, that's a whole different topic too. But I think looking at it now, you know, we got to start doing some type of business and moving some people out, because that's going to be key, I think, in the future.
Absolutely. I agree. Absolutely. But we'll see what happens. But yeah, Alan Saint Maximin, who is officially going to be wearing number 97 and is going to have Maxi.
That's so dope. I like that.
Yeah. Right? You don't see that often. No. So, no. Already kind of coming on with nice little surprises here and there. But yeah, 97, Alan Saint Maximin, a.k.a. Mr. Gucci Man. Let's see what he brings to the table, and hopefully best things to come for América and him in the future. I don't expect him to play against Tigres. Maybe if we're lucky, we get to see a little brief cameo against Atlas, depending on how the game's going. But it looks like he'll make his debut against Pachuca and or maybe possibly against Chivas. But I don't expect it to take that long. I do think that he'll see minutes. If not against Atlas, definitely against Pachuca. But we'll have to wait and see. So that is the update about Alan Saint Maximin. Let's move on and let's talk América versus Querétaro. Hey, Americanistas, Ivan here. And I wanted to invite you guys to sign up to our weekly newsletter if you guys haven't done so already. Make sure you guys head over to our website, eagleeyepodcast.com/newsletter. And that way you guys can sign up and subscribe, and you guys are up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. We give you guys a full weekly recap every Friday of the ins and outs of Coapa. And of course, we keep you guys up to date with what's going on in our world as well regarding the podcast. So if that is something you guys are interested in, that's something you guys want to do, make sure you guys head over again to our website, eagleeyepodcast.com/newsletter, to keep up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas and América. So, Dylan, América finally gets 3 points on the board, finally gets a win, and oddly enough, also gets a clean sheet after what seemed to be forever for a game to start. Originally supposed to kick off at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, ended up picking off at 7:45, I want to say, 7:45 Pacific.
So
it delayed about an hour and 35 minutes due to an electrical storm, and then lights went out. You just had this feeling that there was just this bad omen around the Estadio Ciudad Deportes, that you were just like, this game is not going to go the way we all think it's going to go. And it didn't, honestly. I think América started off very well. Again, I think you have to take everything with a little bit of grain of salt, right? Cautiously optimistic about the result. We get 3 points. That's great. Yes, phenomenal. There's a lot of stuff that maybe we didn't like, the way that we finished, the way that we didn't get to kind of break down Querétaro the way we wanted to. But ultimately, how do you view this game? Do you look at it with the perspective of, oh, the glass is half full or the glass is half empty?
Oh, man, honestly, I don't really see that either way. And I say that because we still haven't lost in league, but you know, getting 3 points is crucial, because I mean, we've seen this team, you know, this squad kind of similarly too, scrape by and get wins, you know, in past tournaments, and you know, and yeah, I mean, it's not the prettiest of football, but you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, I'm happy it's just 3 points. You know, I think, and well, I know we'll get to it too, but I think the Tigres test is really going to be a true test, you know, to see where we stand. But, you know, obviously, I think it's whenever you look at it, we see some of this team, the way this game went for Querétaro, we've seen some of this team play that we kind of have, you know, where, you know, you get the frustration, you know, but I think overall, I'm just kind of looking at it as you know, we got 3 points. I feel like I'm leaning more closer to the glass is half full. If I really had to pick.
Okay. I guess maybe I was the only one that maybe was a little bit exaggerating looking at it with the glass half empty. I guess it's just the fact that all these poor results kind of led up to kind of made it feel like, America continues to be in this gray cloud that they just can't seem to get over or and under. The only way is through. And I don't know. I expected a better result, especially after a very weakened Querétaro side. I know there was a couple referee mistakes, a couple referee calls that should have maybe gone a different way for America. Querétaro playing with 10 men, I think, would have opened up the spaces. And honestly, it would have tarnished the game and we wouldn't have seen the best side of America. I think overall, the best thing was to play with 11 players on the pitch and see how we fare in those situations. But I just wanted to see more of a response. And I guess in some ways we did. But I guess I'm not happy that we didn't walk away with like a 2-3-0 victory, which is, I guess, a little bit ludicrous thinking about how poor the results have been, that right now 3 points, any type of victory is much needed to kind of build on and build a morale and so and so. So I guess there is, I guess, to sound like a broken record, cautious optimistic for me, knowing that, okay, we won against Querétaro. We didn't fix all of our issues. There's still a lot lingering on here. But at the end of the day, America gets 3 points, and that's the most important part, right? We know that towards the latter end of the season, that's when you need to start picking up momentum. That's when you need to start building off and having your best football. And I guess right now, if we think about the past couple of games that America had, we can just roll that up into a very good big preseason. And now we're looking at what America could potentially be moving forward, because Querétaro was the last easy test. And now you're going up against Tigres on the road. And then after that, you have to go again on the road to Atlas. And I know a lot of people are looking at, well, Atlas, but they're going to have this new manager, right? They brought back Coca, and they're going to have a much different play style. They're going to be on edge. They're going to want to beat America. And then you have Papa Pachuca, the Clásico, so on and so forth. There's a lot of games that are going to be testing you throughout the entirety of this month and next that, honestly, you have no space to kind of make mistakes. And I guess Querétaro was just kind of one of those things where I wanted to see more goals stat pack a little bit, just because even though, like you mentioned, we're very much undefeated right now in the league, still we need to kind of boost as much as we can in whatever area we can.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the defense was great. I mean, the clean sheet. I mean, how often do we summon her, or you summon her, Ivan? Always wanting to call a clean sheet, you know? So, I think it was, you know, needed for this backline, especially for Malagón at this point. I mean, honestly, you didn't have much work to really do, but, you know, I think that was something that we need to highlight and kind of bring to light too, is that, you know, if this backline repeats, you know, I'm sure they're going to probably struggle more, you know, especially against Tigres. But I think this was a great stepping stone for this backline. I know, aside from Espinosa's goal, I feel like Ramon Juarez had a really good showing out and everything. So I think that's kind of the key focal point too. I mean, 3 points, you know, and a defense that really seems like is starting to solidify itself and be a little bit stronger. It goes back to, like you kind of said, to just taking that and trying to build off that and build some momentum going forward.
Absolutely. And one last note on this Querétaro game before we move on. The fact that we didn't stat pad and the fact that we didn't get all these goals frustrated me more, because we could have ended the game like around the 60th minute, 3-0 up, and you just could have thrown out the youngsters and just gotten a lot more minutes for that youngster rule and kind of gotten closer to finishing off that. Another frustrating thing about it. But again, at the end of the day, in hindsight, it's a victory. It's a clean sheet. It's a good run for the defense. And at the end of the day, you get something to build momentum off of. And that will be the most important part going into the rest of the season. But anything else to add on regarding this America Querétaro game?
No, just like I said, I we could be nitpicky, you know, all we want, but, you know, I'm going to sit here, you know, and just be happy with the 3 points, you know, be happy that, you know, the clean sheet was there, kind of repeating myself, but, you know, still undefeated in the league, but, you know, we're about to go on a slew of tests here, especially starting with Tigres. But I think this is a good stepping stone. I feel like Jardinet has what he needs from this game to build off of. I feel like, you know, maybe even the culture shifted a little bit with Alan, you know, coming in, you know, feeling like there's a breath of new life from this team, like I kind of said earlier too. So I'm again, cautiously optimistic for this future. I feel like this was a great, you know, 3 points deserve 3 points, should I say. You know, I needed 3 points, but, you know, let's just see what they build on from here.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that America didn't deserve the 3 points. Absolutely. They merited them. I just feel like they should have gotten a much more well-rounded matchup and we would have had a much different conversation. But I guess, right. You know, time will tell and we'll see what happens. But even Jardinet came out afterwards and later on, a couple of days after the game, said, you know, on his Instagram post that they're working hard and that they're grateful for the support of the fans. But, you know, they're still looking to build upon this result and show us a much better America side. So, again, a lot of optimism right there in that aspect. But yeah, look, Dylan's right. We can be as nitpicky as we want to be in this game, or we can talk about the fact that Henry missed the penalty. We can talk about the fact that, you know, Victor Dávila again showcases nothing, or Fidalgo, is he still the same difference maker on and off the pitch and stuff like that. But again, it'll be too hard to kind of digest all of that with everything going in and around the club situation. I've said it 1,000 times already. There's a lot of players that I think need to have a self-reflection moment and look at themselves in the mirror and say, am I good enough to be in this team? Am I still good enough to be part of this squad? And if the answer is yes, then they have to go out there and demonstrate and showcase that they're still the player that they claim to be. So I just feel like we're in these moments where America needs to buckle up and just kind of get through the punches and come out on top one way or another. But yeah, I don't really got nothing else to add on in regards to this Querétaro game.
No, I'm good.
All righty then. Well, coming up next, we have a preview with a Tigres expert to talk all things America versus Tigres. Or should I mention Tigres versus America as America goes off to the Volcán for a very, very testy matchup in which, Dylan, I'm going to be honest, I don't have a lot of faith coming up. Americanistas, today's episode is brought to you by Tom's Watch Bar, the official home of Club America in the United States. Every game this season will be streamed at Tom's Watch Bar. That's right, all the games, all the time, meaning you always have a place to catch our Aguilas in action. So head over to your local Tom's Watch Bar to experience an America game like never before. Visit tomswatchbar.com/events for more information. Thank you to Tom's for sponsoring today's episode. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to our next segment here. America versus Tigres, or should I mention Tigres versus America? This is going to be our next matchup. Jornada, correct me if I'm wrong, Dylan. Is it Jornada 5?
Oh, yes. I'm losing track of it too.
Yeah, it's Jornada 5. We're good. All right. Doing this so many times, Dylan, you just feel like it just all blends in at one time.
Exactly, dude. That's how the week's running for me, so.
Absolutely. All righty then. But we're not alone this time, guys. We brought in an expert to talk all things Tigres with us. So that way we have a very good idea of what we're getting ourselves into for this Saturday. So joining the podcast for the very first time, let me welcome Luis from La U Time Podcast. Luis, how are you, man?
Hi, Ivan. Hi, Dylan. Great to be on here, man. It's always good to talk about our league and our teams. So it's a privilege to be on with you guys.
Absolutely. You ready for what a lot of people have tried to deem the new Clásico?
The Aldo Farias make-believe Clásico.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's a one-man band spearheading that movement, bro.
100%. Hey, trying to stick strong to that, so I'll give them props to that sense. But, yeah, look, hey, man, we're coming up against Tigres and a team that I feel like dealing for the longest time, for at least the past 7 years that we've been doing this, I feel like we've been facing up against Tigres for like everything, whether it's friendly, official competitions, finals, you name it. So I could see why a lot of people were trying to call it, you know, the new Clásico. But Luis, talk to me a little bit more about how Tigres is coming into this one. I mean, obviously you guys had just spanked Puebla, 7-0, which I'm sure was a delight for you guys. Not so much for the Puebla or the Puebla content manager for Twitter, but talk to me a little bit more about what Tigres is up to.
Well, the Tigres is coming in red hot. Last five games, 4 wins in the last five games, 19 goals in favor in that time span. So scoring in bunches, like you said, we scored 7 against Puebla, but we also put up 4 against Toluca earlier in the season. A good Leagues Cup campaign. So overall, the team's looking great. They're starting to implement Guido Pizarro's system. As you are aware, last season, midway through the season, we got rid of Veljko Paunovic. Guido Pizarro retired, and he took over the team. And, you know, there was some growing pains to try to implement his system. He had no offseason. So, you know, unfortunately, our battles ended in semifinals, not only in CONCA, but in the league as well. And this season, it seems to be going a lot better with an offseason, with time to implement his system, bringing in a few players. I think that the team's looking way better. And it's starting to show, I think, on the pitch. You're starting to see a lot more quality and definitely players that are moving around, shifting around the way Pizarro wants them to play.
Yeah, I mean, it's evident with just the results you guys have been having, right? I think next to Toluca, you guys are probably second favorites with just the way things have been going right now. You're one of the few teams that qualified for, you know, Leagues Cup out of the so-called, you know, bigger teams. Although, you know, the Friday Botanero ones are doing a good job right there, you know, representing Liga MX at Leagues Cup. So, Dylan, we know that obviously we're coming into this one in a shadow of what Tigres is right now at the moment, right? Although I think the one thing you mentioned earlier on in the podcast is the one thing that we're going to be optimistic about is the fact that we're still undefeated in the league, right? So that gives us some optimism going forward and saying, hey, I know things haven't looked the best, but at least we know that through thick and thin, we're able to kind of get a result and we haven't been able to lose so far this season. I'm sure that has to weigh something on the América players, right?
Yeah, I think it does weigh a little bit of something too. And at this rate too, I'd probably call it cautious optimism here too. Yep. Because it's always seemed like, you know, we kind of go into the Volcán, you know, struggle a little bit too. I mean, maybe we've had, you know, those games, you know, where we go in, you know, there and, you know, walk away, you know, with that win or but everything. But, you know, I think, you know, that's something, you know, Hayden is probably preaching right now. Like, hey, you know what, forget Leagues Cup, you know, we might have had our fair share of struggles, but you know what, we still haven't lost, you know, we still haven't lost in the league. And so that's something we can hold our heads on and, you know, hang our heads high on and everything. But I think that's something, you know, especially to build on, you know, whenever you're going forward into this, especially a tough opponent, you know, early on into the season. So, yeah, it's something to build on and, you know, cautious optimistic. So
there we go. You know what, Dylan, if someone's listening to this, the amount of times we've mentioned cautious optimistic, they might as well have taken a shot every time that, you know, we've said that those two words put together. Luis, talk to me a little bit about what fans are thinking about in this matchup, right? Is this, obviously for us, we're looking at this game as the first real test for the league, at least. Obviously, you guys said you played against Toluca already. I'm sure that was a big test for you guys. And then now comes America. I'm sure this is, with the results and with the way that this team has looked at, I'm sure you guys seen Toluca as much more of a bigger test than maybe playing America at home.
Well, not necessarily. As your fans are aware, we've struggled against America in the last, 9 years? We haven't had a lot of success. Just going back in the last 5 games versus America, we've only had 1 win, and it was just a 1-0 win. So we haven't performed well against America, and last season we got beat 3-0. So that was a big loss. It was one of Guido Pizarro's first league games. I believe it was the second one. And mm-hmm. We were totally frustrated in that match. And as fans, we definitely want to get back to where at least we're competing, because in a lot of ways, I think we've gotten spanked by you guys, and I think the fans are tired of it. So this is an important game for us, because it's a game where we need to prove that we can battle against the big teams in the league. You mentioned Toluca, obviously they're firing on all cylinders, but America, you know, the last 4 or 5 seasons have been amazing. So it's definitely a team that we circle on the calendar every season, and they definitely want to win. So hopefully with the boys playing red hot right now and at home, it's a game that we can win. Hopefully, but I think it's going to be a tough test. Jardini, one thing that he showed last season is that he outcoached Guido Pizarro. And so to me, that's going to be a big test for Pizarro too, as a coach, to see if he can battle in the X's and O's against a proven coach.
Well, that'll be interesting. Yeah. The tactical battle right there, right? I'm sure Guido Pizarro has grown tremendously from last season to where he is right now. And we'll see, what tricks he has up his sleeve. And I'm sure Jenny has studied his playbook as well, seeing how good you guys have been. I'm sure he's going to have somewhat of an idea. Let's talking about this whole tactical formation and tactics up ahead. Do you expect Jardinet to play the way that he did against Querétaro? Not necessarily, like for like, but as far as tactics go with formation 4-3-3, you think that's going to be something that we see? Or do you feel like, because this is Tigres, because they're firing on all cylinders because of the results that they've had and the much better track record they're having at the moment, do you think that we see a back five for this game?
Ooh, that one's really tough. I mean, because you see them kind of go a little bit, it seems like, back and forth. Mm-hmm. I really think maybe, and sometimes not the best one to ask about tactics here. I think sometimes, I feel like he's gonna kind of ponder with that 4-3-3 maybe a little bit and see where it kind of leads. And then if he needs to shift, then I think, maybe we'll see the shift.
You know what? I hope that he is, one, listening to this, because shout out to Jardine. But two, I agree. I do think that we need to not be cautious coming into this game. I think the minute you walk into the Volcan and you go out there with this cautious lineup to not concede or not to lose, then that's when it's going to backfire on you. I think we need to go in with the mindset of we're going to go play like for like, and we're going to, try to play our style of football and have Tigres adapt to us, which I know is going to be difficult, especially when you're away. But I wouldn't be surprised if he does go out with a back five. I understand why he would do that, but I would love to see him risk it a little bit more, play with a 4-3-3, and see what that's going to bring us.
I feel like he sets the mentality for the squad. Absolutely. If he goes back five, so.
Yeah, absolutely. So I hope we see a much direct, a much attacking America side. Luis, for your Tigres, how do you see Guido approaching this one?
Lately, because we don't have the personnel to play five at the back like Pizarro wants to, we've been going with the 4-2-3-1. One thing that you guys exposed from our squad last season was our fullbacks. I thought we were heavily mismatched, your wingers versus our fullbacks, Sendejas against either Garza or Angulo, or Brian Rodriguez against Javier Aquino. It really showed speed differences, I think, are quite a bit more from the wingers to our fullbacks, and I think we struggled. And so I think that's something that we'll have to button up. Defensively, we've been okay this season. Only one clean sheet, though, so that's something to be worried about, especially going against the powerful attackers that America has. It'll be a really interesting battle. I think for the most part, the midfield might just kind of nullify itself. We have a lot of weapons. You guys have a lot of weapons. So it might be your wingers against our fullbacks. And then I'd like to see our wingers go against your back line. I think we have weapons there to expose the back line. I think that's been the one weakness America has had these last 6 or 7 weeks, is the back line hasn't been as good as they were in previous seasons. So it would be nice to see like Correa, Bruneta, Osiel Herrera, Diego Lainez kind of attacking that back line to see if we can maybe get some scores, force some mistakes. And I think perhaps trying to pressure America as they're trying to play out the back, force some errors there, some easy scores. I think that's kind of going to be the tactic for us to try to see if we can score against you guys.
Okay. How is your guys' aerial game?
It's actually really good. We have Nico Ibanez, center forward, who is pretty good in the air. But you wouldn't think, but our back line is very good. For example, Romelu Zuarg, tall center back, very good on corner kicks and set pieces. Juan Purata, very good on corner kicks and set pieces. So we have at least four or five players that can kind of help us out in any kind of set piece situation. And that's going to be also an interesting matchup. Center backs versus the four or five players that we might send into the box in a scenario like a corner kick, for example.
Well, that is not music to my ears, Dylan, seeing how that is our Achilles heel. Yeah. I'm sure that's going to be something that Guido Pizarro is going to try to exploit. But I guess that's another thing that we need to kind of keep in mind, right? Let's limit the opportunities that Tigres can get, in set pieces, whether it's a corner kick or a foul. I think we need to be smart in that sense. And it comes down to the defenders and how well they are on the night. A lot of people praise Ramon Juarez for the past couple of games that he's had. I'm sure he's going to get the start against Tigres. You know, he's going to be up against some really, really good players and some really good aerial duels. I personally don't think he's the best player in the air. I still think he needs to work on that. But then again, he's not the tallest center back either, right? The curse of being Mexican. So I think it's just going to be one of those things where we need to see if he can step up to the moment. And another one of those things that I feel like Igor Lichnowsky will probably start in this game just because of the aerial threat. And we need someone that can clear the ball and can read those crosses in, and no one reads it better than Igor right now in the team. So we'll see. Obviously, it promises for a really good matchup. It promises for a really good game. Luis, if you had to put together a starting 11 for this matchup, a predicting starting 11, what do you think it would be?
This is going to be an interesting one. Normally, I wouldn't hesitate to put our best 11. But as you guys know, we got League's Cup coming up on Wednesday versus a really good Inter Miami team. So it'll be interesting to see what Guido Pizarro decides to maybe hold back on a few players and do like a mix, or if he just goes best 11 versus an America team, this tough America team. Personally, I think he gives you your best 11 because historically we haven't done very good against America, and I think we do need to put our best 11 out, and the fans are kind of demanding a good result at this point now, since, like I mentioned, we've only have one win in the last five games. So I think this is one of those games where you do need the best 11. So in that case, you go Nahuel at goalkeeper, you go Chuy Garza at left fullback, Juan Purata center back, Romelu Zuarg center back, Javier Aquino right back, and then the two holding mids will probably go Gorriarán and Juan Bruneta, and then the three at the top will be Osiel Herrera, Correa, and then Nailes at the far right wing. And then at the top, probably Nico Ibáñez. Nico Ibáñez is questionable, though, because he is carrying a knock. So we'll see. If Nico can't go due to injury, then we would likely play Gignac or possibly Gacelo Lopez. So we'll see. That's kind of up in the air, the number nine. I still think Nico Ibáñez has had enough rest to where he starts. So I'm going to go ahead and plug Nico Ibáñez there at the nine.
All right. Well, it's a good squad. Whichever way you want to break the bread, it looks like it's gonna be a good team. But Dylan, the only music to my ears is that there's no Cordoba in the starting 11.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
I'm kidding. What would you go for our starting 11? Let's just try to see if we can work this together. If we are gonna go with a 4-3-3, and obviously knowing that Tigres is most likely gonna put their best players at their disposal against us, obviously Malagón in net, that kind of is a given. But here's the real question, Dylan. Do you give this kid, Dagoberto, the opportunity to continue to blossom and continue this good run of form? Or do you put Israel Reyes there?
See, whenever you asked Luis that, I was sitting here thinking, like, God, who would I put at right back? Because, I mean, I do like Espinosa. I don't know if he has my full confidence yet, but I just don't like Israel there. And I'm not sure if I can trust Kevin. So I feel like Espinosa is kind of the pick here.
Okay. I do think that Espinosa going forward is phenomenal. It's the defensive side that scares me and worries me. And with him having to have to mark Osiel, that's, you know, it's going to be a tall task for the young kid. But let's see. But I wouldn't mind giving him the opportunity. You know, I think he's in good form. And if he can show out, ball out against Osiel, then, you know, it's going to be an even better season for him going forward. At center back, I think we talked about it. Ramon Juarez, Igor Lichnowsky, I don't really see any different. Cáceres, I guess he's a good player, but I don't know. Right now, he's not above Ramon Juarez. And he might be above Igor Lichnowsky, but I just think defensively in the aerial duels,
yeah,
you wouldn't risk it. And I would, I'd put Igor Lichnowsky there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Left back. Who do you put? Borja?
Yeah. Borja's right now, especially coming off that assist, you know, I think he stays there.
All right. And my midfield, the three I have is Álvaro Fidalgo, Chiquito Sánchez, and I don't know. Who else do you put there?
I think you just keep it Brian and Sendejas, no?
Brian Sendejas on the wings, yes. But we need either a cam or we need a center defensive mid. And I think, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Alan Cervantes just to be kind of a disruptor.
Yeah, I'm thinking the wrong formation, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I'm going Alan Cervantes just to disrupt that midfield. And up top, La Pantera or Henry?
I go Pantera.
Yeah, I'm going Pantera too. I think he just hustles a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
And nothing bad against Henry. I think Henry will find his place back into the starting 11. But at the time being, I think we give it to Pantera Zuniga. So that is the predicting starting 11 for both teams. We'll see how much of our money. I trust 100% what Luis said. I would not trust 100% what we just said right now, Dylan. We're not putting money on.
Saint Maximin isn't traveling, right?
He will travel with the squad. I don't think he'll like be in the locker room or anything like that. He just kind of will be in the stands. He's rumored to play against Pachuca. That might be the most solid debut. Maybe might get minutes against Atlas, depending on how quick he adapts. But yeah, don't expect Maximin to make any type of cameo appearances on the pitch. Definitely in the transmission, I'm sure. Then it will find a way to flag him down with the cameras, but don't expect Mr. Gucci man to put on his cleats just yet. But yeah, it's an interesting game. It's a fun game overall. I think for the most part, both fans enjoy this matchup, right? I think there's times where the games come very close. Sometimes, you know, I know that last game that you guys won, which was what was it, a season? No, two seasons ago, right? In the Clausura, where you guys won as 1-0 at the Volcan. That wasn't the most exciting of games, but, you know, for the most part, every other game has goals, has thrills. And I'm sure this one will definitely not disappoint. This game is going to be Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. That's going to be live via TUDN. Or, actually, no, excuse me. It's not going to be TUDN. It's going to be Telemundo. I forgot Telemundo has your guys' rights now, huh?
Yeah, Telemundo, Estrella TV, the app will have it as well. And then I believe FS1 has been picking it up in English as well. So there's three options there for the U.S. audience.
So it'll be on Peacock too?
I think they do Telemundo/Universo. But I think it'll, since this is such a marquee game, expect it just on the Telemundo, either the Telemundo app or the channel, which you can get it over the air.
Well, it is going to be on NBC and Universo. And when we played Juarez, it was also on Universo and on Peacock. So, wouldn't hold your breath, but it wouldn't hurt to check.
Yeah. And as a backup, Estrella TV has it, and you can download the app for free, and it's free to watch. So, if you can't get Telemundo or FS1, you can have that in your pocket as a backup viewing option.
That might be my go-to move. I'll be at a party on Saturday at that time.
There you go. And then there you go.
I already checked it, calculated. I'm like, there's no way we leave beforehand, and there's no way I get home before second half. So I'm gonna have to write it out with my phone. So we'll see how that all ends up about. But Luis, is there anything else you want to add on for this preview? Something, you know?
Are we doing score predictions on this one?
Yeah, we'll do score predictions. I want to leave that one towards the end. But if you're ready for it, we'll dish it out right now.
I'm going to go. I think this one's going to be a high scoring one.
Okay.
I think both teams are going to go for it. And I think it's going to be a good one to watch, back and forth, plenty of action. So I'm going to go 3-2 Tigres.
That is a lot of goals. Wow. When you said a lot of goals, you meant a lot of goals.
Yeah, I hope we get really high scoring one. I think we're due up for one, and it should be a great matchup.
Okay, 3-2. That definitely would be some type of matchup. Dylan, what are you going with?
Ivan, here's another shot for the viewers if they want to do their game. You know, I'm going to stay on the side of cautiously optimistic. Yeah. I agree with Luis. I think there will be some goals. Sorry, Ivan. I think Cordova comes in and scores one. but I'm going to go a 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw. Wow. Okay. I will be superly cautious and optimistic and say... you know what? No, I'm going to err on the side of adventurous right here. We're going 1-0 for America. They somehow find a way to scrape through. It's a terrible, like, 78th minute goal where there's a lot of polemica. And again, the narrative is the referees help America all the time. And we walk away with 3 points. And we're here sitting back next week talking about, like, wow, that game should have ended a different result, but we walked away with it.
So we covered the entire spectrum on this one. So good. Absolutely. So one of us is going to be right here. Yeah. So this is good.
Someone's breaking bread. So, hey, we'll see what happens. But look, like I mentioned, it not to sound like a broken record, but this paints to be like a really good game. Tigres is on it. I mean, you guys saw what they did to Puebla. You just have to look back at the track record. I mean, Luis will tell you, very good Leagues Cup campaign, the goals that they scored against Toluca. América, on the other end, you know, we're going through something right now, and there's no better way than to get yourself out of a tough situation than to go up against a title contender like Tigres with their roster, with their results. And if you're able to walk away with, you know, a good result here, which is 3 points, ultimately that catapults you into a whole different world, into a whole different level. And then you start thinking, shifting focus against your next opponent, which is going to be, again, on the road versus Atlas. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, Luis, anything else to add on before we wrap it up?
No, that's it for me, man. It's great joining you guys. It's always great getting to meet other members of the community. I know we're all kind of on our own little space,
yeah,
pulling for our team and everything, but I've gotten the privilege of kind of joining other podcasts throughout the years, and it's always fun to meet people, like-minded people who are doing good things for their community and for their teams. And just going to give you guys props because you guys have been doing it the longest and been doing a great job at it, exposing the brand to the English community, which I think it's really important.
Awesome, mate. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Those words mean more than you can imagine. You know, it's like you mentioned, a very small space. You know, I wish there would be a lot more people that, you know, do exactly like you did, you know, start like a Twitter account, name themselves, you know, Querétaro English. So there's actually a Querétaro English out there. They don't tweet anymore, but, you know, I just wish there was a consistency there. And I know it's sometimes a little bit difficult because life gets in the way. And sometimes, you know, you don't get the recognition at times that you feel like you deserve because of what you're putting out there. But really, honestly, like, we love the fact that there's a space for our league, not just for our fans, right? The America fans, but, you know, a place for the league. Because I think the league as a whole needs to come together. And eventually, I'm sure we'll find our way, right? Everything finds a way to kind of... History tends to repeat itself, and I'm sure there will come a time where we will see that again. I mean, you saw right now Necaxa with that show that they have right now on FX. I'm sure that will bring someone to start a Necaxa podcast, you know? And when they do, we'll hopefully be happy to bring them on to this podcast and talk, you know, with them about the matchup as well. So, you know... It's phenomenal what you guys are doing as well. I know you mentioned you guys have been doing this for 4 years. Keep up the good work. We know how hard it is to stay consistent. We know how hard it is to sometimes finish a season. But, you know, at the end of the day, we just kind of want to see everyone triumph within our circle. And that includes you guys. So congratulations, man. You guys keep it going. And we can't wait. Hopefully we get to talk again soon in the season. Maybe we'll see each other in Liguilla.
Absolutely, man. We'd love to have you guys on as well. And we'll definitely be in touch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, with that said, Luis, thank you so much for taking the time coming out and talking all things Club America. Where can any stumbling Tigres fans that are listening to this find you guys in?
I'm at Twitter at Tigres_English. And then I'm also every Monday or Tuesday recording a podcast with La U Times. Arnoldo Lozano and a few of the other guys, we all get together every week and record. So you guys can find us there as well.
All right. Phenomenal. We'll put links in the show notes as well so people can find you guys. Dylan, thank you again, man, for taking the time out. We're glad to see that everything went well in Vegas, and back to the grind.
Yep, back to the grind. It's been a pleasure, like always, Ivan.
Absolutely. Well, to everyone listening, thank you so much. We'll be back next week to talk all things Flu America. Until then, you guys take care. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.